That last verse that Jeff read is a really good picture of Jesus' ministry to us. You can just put your name in the verse there, two verses. If you wander away from the truth, that could be somebody who knows Christ and just drifts away. Somebody brings him back. The Lord will do that for you. Remember, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way, Jesus will turn you and I from the error of our way. He will save that one from death and cover a multitude of sins. So to think that your soul is saved from death through Christ and covered, you know, the multitude of sins that each of us have, covered by Christ, what a gospel to know for our own health and for walking with the Lord. So take that to heart. James writes this so we could emulate what the Lord has done and kind of follow up in that same ministry. I was helped the other day. I used this illustration without permission, but I was helped the other day by someone who's describing the nursing ministry, and a family member was a nurse and said that there's pretty much two strategies to being a nurse. The first is very important, and it's maybe called the technical and technological strategy, where a nurse will come into your room if you're in the hospital, check the instruments, check your vitals, look at the machines, write down what needs to be written, and out of the room they go. Really important. I've been in a hospital, as some of you have, and it's important that everybody who comes into that room, who's trying to help you, knows your basic information. Get it down, get it organized, so they're not treating your, you know, infected foot treating you for something else. And then there's a second strategy of nursing, which is not only to do what needs to be done, but to connect with the patient, to look at the patient, to listen to the patient. What are you feeling like? You know, where does the hurt? Where is it hurt? Is the pain 10 or is it 5 today? And you start as an effective nurse. You say, you know, how would I feel if my foot was two times its normal size? How would I feel if I was the fourth chemotherapy that I was receiving and had no strength to go to the bathroom? You know, so you put yourself in place of the other person, and effective help can be given when somebody does that. And so someone said, Timothy Keller, it's almost impossible to help a person in need or who has a problem without sharing with them, getting personally involved, and almost changing places with them. Almost changing places with them. And so in this passage, James gives us a lot of ways to change places with a world that is in distress and sin, because we need someone to change places for us. Actually, we'll see how Jesus does that on our behalf. But it's a call in our lives, and one of the big themes of James is to have that practical living out of following Christ. Don't ignore the orphan or the widow. Keep a tight rein on your tongue. Stop the grumbling garbage. Humble yourself before God. Those are some of the themes that James covers. Faith without works is dead. You need Jesus' help to live effectively. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And mercy triumphs over judgment. In fact, James in the last three chapters is big on a contrast with mercy and judgment. And they're both important in the Bible. But James says that anybody who doesn't show mercy will be shown judgment without mercy. And that's a pretty sobering thought. If I pronounce something on your head in a condemning way, and I have no mercy in my soul toward you, God says, well, that's the way you'll be treated. That's the standard you're going to have to deal with. And so the Lord points to us here in the last chapter of James. He says, there's a judge standing at the door. He's able to save or destroy. So he's saying, live close to God. It's really important to do that. And then he uses the phrase, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So that's a pretty big contrast. Judge at the door, able to save or destroy, full of compassion and mercy. Wednesday we went over this a little bit. A lot of times If somebody sins against me, I look at them and I say, the judge is at the door. God will get you for that. You know, get a chip on my shoulder toward that person, toward the world, and whoever else. If somebody sins against me, I say, hey, the Lord's full of mercy and compassion. You know, show me something. I'm in need of it. Well, the point of James telling us both of those things is, hey, both truths are true for both people. There is a judge at the door, and we're accountable to him. He happens to be full of mercy and compassion. So that's a life changer in terms of what can happen in my soul. Trust the judge who is merciful and compassionate. That's part of the message there. And the Living Bible puts that phrase this way. The Lord cares. He cares right down to the last detail of your life. So he is that effective great physician coming into your room. He says, I know exactly, you know, where the pain is. I have a record of it. And I am involved in your life personally. So he's going to jump in and help us. Interesting that Jesus was known for his mercy and compassion throughout the scriptures. And it's good for us to remember that, in addition to him being a judge, when we seek to admire the Lord or follow him. If you look through the Bible, you'll see many things about God that people do not say a lot about. That's qualities that sometimes you and I go after or wish we were like or attain to. For example, there's no description of Jesus in great detail that says, Lord, your IQ was the highest of anybody in the Middle East at that time in history. You know, you were fantastically intelligent. And we admire you for that. Well, I'm sure he was. But that didn't seem to make it on the pages of the New Testament as a quality number one. Nobody said, Jesus, we saw you lift that net, you know, help lift that net, 500 pounds of fish. Man, you are a beast. What I want to do in my life, Jesus, I want to be as strong as you. I'll be a man at that point. No one said that. No one went up to Jesus and said, you know, Jesus, I noticed how you do things. You are the best organized guy out of anybody around here. I mean, those things are important, but that didn't seem to be a key part of the salvation that he brought. What they said about him was, wow, I mean, he's doing miracles that touch people where they live. He's telling us things about God. We're getting closer to God when we're open to his word. And so the compassion and mercy of Christ that he had, he's gonna want to pass on to us. Let's look at compassion, what it means. Compassion means that God puts himself in your place. Like that good nurse or doctor. Puts himself in your place, walks a mile in your shoes. Not just a mile, but from your birth to your death, walks in your shoes. Sounds like the cross, that he would put himself in our place. Say, I'll take the sin, I'll take the grief, and I'll take the dirt that's yours, and I'll put it on me. And so God has a lot of emotion invested in your life. Picture of compassion is somebody bent over to wash your feet or wash your soul. That's what the Lord would do for you. He's full of compassion and mercy. And he wants to let you know that in his relationship with you. Even as you remember, hey, he's right at the door, he's very near. I'm also accountable to him. I thought we would look at some pictures in the Bible of God's compassion and mercy, since he's full of those qualities. And just let the Lord minister to our soul in whatever direction he leads. So we have the guys helping us out with the verses on the screen. First verse that I found that kind of hit my heart in the middle of the Psalms was, the Lord is compassionate and provides food for those who fear him. Just that daily bread that God, you know, is interested in our lives. He takes care of us in that way. If you have an appreciation of daily bread, it is good to know, for example, the atheist and the Christian agree on this. Here's the atheist and the Christian. They agree on the fact that there's enough food in the world to feed everybody, almost 7 million people. It really is. And in fact, someone did a study and they said, well, there's about 3,000 calories a day available for every person. That's the diet of a very active athlete. That's what Casey Hampton eats when he's tackling people for the Pittsburgh Steelers. 3,000 calories a day. That's three healthy meals and three healthy snacks. And I'd have to say I'm about there. You know, maybe even four healthy snacks. The Lord's compassionate. He provides food for those who fear Him. So when God looks at the world, He says, hey, I want to provide daily bread for everybody. Now, if I don't fear God, if we don't fear God, if we don't share, if we hoard, if we waste, then what God has provided won't get to everybody. Okay, we know that's been going on since, you know, Jesus' day. But He wants to let us know, hey, if anybody ever says, you know, how could there be a God? I don't understand. There's people hungry and needing food. God basically would say, hey, I gave it to you folks. Now, you know, it's not getting done. That's on you. Okay, judges at the door. And compassion, He's full of compassion and mercy. He can have that be a part of your ministry, your life. It's a part of His ministry. So you take that up with Him. Second passage here, if it's Jonah, Lord, You're gracious and compassionate, God. He takes care of our soul. This was said about Jonah's response to a city that he thought should be destroyed. It happened to be Nineveh. And Nineveh was one of the most evil cities in existence at that place, at the time. Okay, so Jonah's plan for Nineveh was kill them all. That would make the prophet of God happy. Jonah was you know, his heart wasn't in the right place at that point, obviously. God's plan for Nineveh was give them all salvation. Or at least give them a chance to say yes. And thankfully, they all said yes. So Jonah, even in a resentful manner, said, Lord, he was mad when he said this, You're gracious and compassionate. And sometimes we're going to have a chip on our shoulder about God's mercy to somebody else. I don't know whether it's jealousy or whatever the case may be, but it's not a healthy way to live. Okay, it's a sick way to live in your soul. If you see God's mercy and compassion and you wonder, you know, man, I wanted the exact opposite for that person. So the Lord is merciful and compassionate. See how He cares about the body, the soul. Another picture of that is in the story of the rebel son. How did the good dad treat the rebel? He runs down the road and embraces him. He's filled with compassion. And one of the best pictures in the Bible. When you waste your life in sin, and you have nothing, and you'd be glad just to, you know, be 100 yards from your own self to God Himself. God comes and He embraces you. So that's good news for you if you had a really bad, you know, background or walk with the Lord or even in your own soul recently. God would run to you. And the Bible would say, be filled with that kind of compassion. And this third picture here, we have a lot of them, so I'm going to keep moving. God says, this is the tough side of His compassion. I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion. And I'll have mercy on who I have mercy. The precious thing about compassion and mercy is this. God doesn't owe me compassion and mercy. He really doesn't. If God said, I'm just going to be fair about this whole thing, this whole life thing, I'm just going to be fair about it, then what God owes me is hell. Because that's what I've earned in terms of my own rebellion. Even the cross, some I think Christians who are a little too tight in their theology, would say, but the cross makes compassion and mercy free for everybody. But, hey, but the cross was a gift. That wasn't earned or deserved. I mean, that was mercy and compassion from the get-go. So if we, you and I, have any mercy or compassion that we've experienced, we have to say to God, Lord, I'm so thankful. I am overwhelmed, but that you would do this for me. You know, and it's a great thing that God would do. Another picture, moving from compassion to mercy. We could sing and be glad his mercies are new every morning. Moving on, God's mercy is a picture of the Good Samaritan. Franklin Graham had a great idea when he said, you know, I want to have a ministry to the ones who go through disasters. What should it be called? Samaritan's Purse. He says, this is the kind of ministry I want to have. And you can have that kind of lifestyle, that Good Samaritan lifestyle. You get excited, you never know what the Lord will do. He just takes the people in this room or everybody in Westmoreland County and says, know Christ and says, there they go. There goes 200 good Samaritans out there. You know, ready to see the need and say, with God's help, I will be a part of some alleviation, that good nursing ministry help for the person. Be a good Samaritan because you've received mercy from God. And then another picture of God's mercy, I call it the conversion prayer. Jesus told a story and he said this man prayed, and that for him it was his born-again prayer. He was born again when he prayed this from his heart. He became a Christian. He was right with God. And the only thing he said was, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said he went home justified. Isn't that great? You'd go home at peace with God. You know, wherever you're at in your relationship with him, could you appreciate his mercy to you and say, hey, I know every service there's people that I've never received Christ. You can receive Christ and follow him and say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Three more pictures of Jesus' mercy. They're great. I hope my concern about the sermon was I give you too many pictures and then you wonder, I can't even remember one of them. But they're a variety to hit a variety of needs. First picture of Jesus' mercy and compassion. I just picked all these from Mark chapter 1. Come follow me, said Jesus. I will make you fishers of men. The thing I want you to see about this is these guys were working. They were not in church. They were not reading their Bible. They were not praying. They were doing what they normally do in the course of a week. So there you are at work, and then Jesus comes and says, I can give you an eternal picture of what you're doing and have your life be changed. And so they're chosen by Christ. I remember going for a job and wonder, who's going to choose me to do a job? Let's see, I'm waiting on KFC, I'm waiting on Wendy's, I'm waiting on Burger King. None of them pick me. Wow. You know, so you settle for McDonald's. You go for whoever, you say, well, somebody please choose me. Some of you are in that boat. Young people maybe have the opportunity to say, well, I'm waiting for the choices of my college. Who's going to ask me, Penn State, Pitt, or Ohio State? You know, I'm going to feel pretty good when they choose me. But what if God chooses you? I mean, the King of the universe, he comes and says, yeah, I want you to be with me now and forever. Boy, that would be a source of gratitude, thankfulness, and identity. You'd say, well, Burger King can wait. You know, Penn State, I'll take, you know, whatever. Because God said, I choose you. In fact, if you walk with the Lord, you'll see in the Bible, he chose you before the creation of the world. That's how long he's wanted you to be with him. You say, that doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't have to, but you could be thankful about it. And if you feel like you've not been chosen like that, Well, then, what are you going to do? Spend the rest of your life proving that God didn't choose you? Is that how you want to live? That's how a lot of people live. But come follow me, said Jesus, I will make you fisher of men. Next example of compassion and mercy. Try to keep what he will do for you. Jesus says to the demon-possessed person, be quiet, come out of him. He wants the evil out of the man. Interesting about this act of compassion and mercy is this takes place in worship. Everybody's in the synagogue. It's time. And the worst behaved person in worship is there. The demon-possessed person. He's not there to worship God. He's not there to pray. He's not here to have his life changed by Christ. He's there to cause trouble. It happens in every gathering. Okay, that's just a realistic assessment. And so Jesus says, be quiet, come out of him. And he heals the man of the worst evil that could beset a person. Now you might say, I feel far away from God, but I don't think I'm demon possessed. There have been people who were demon possessed that turned to Christ. Example in recent contemporary history, Son of Sam, who was a murderer from New York City, David Berkowitz, he shot a bunch of people, said he heard voices, said his dog told him to go do it. I mean, it was big time, you know, out of touch with what was good and true. He needs Christ while he's incarcerated, and he walks with God today. Rational, okay, compassionate, and somebody who's almost like a good, he's a good doctor now. Not a physician doctor, but he's helping others find the path of God. This is the compassion of Jesus, how it can change your life. Anybody's life who you have a heart for. The last picture I want to share. Jesus reaches out with compassion to the person who has leprosy. He says, I'm willing, be clean. And leprosy was the very bad illness of the day. Death sentence. Combination of AIDS or another life-threatening illness. It kept people away. It isolated you. Your leprosy and my leprosy might not be physical, it might be spiritual. Our leprosy might be unforgiveness. Unforgiveness keeps us isolated. It says, don't come near to me, because it might be contagious. Or pride. Don't come near to me because I think I'm better than you. Or it might be the fear of others. And Jesus sees that condition, and the Bible says he goes up to the leper and touches the leper. And you might say in your own soul, it's been a long time since anybody touched my soul. I'm not going to let him get close. Jesus will say, I'll come and touch your point of greatest illness, whatever that is, and I can give you health for that. And so, we thank God, as James says, the Lord, the judge, is full of compassion and mercy. And all his compassion and mercy, the exciting thing, the Lord shares with the true Christian. Not the fake Christian. Not the church guy Christian. The true Christian. Whose heart says, I want to pass on this compassion and mercy. That the true judge who's able to save or destroy gave me. And so, would you feel called by God, you know, out of respect for Christ and his word to say, if the Lord is full of compassion and mercy, I'm going to go change places with people too. You know, where they are, I'm going to stand in their shoes. And when they have the pain, I'll be getting emotional about that. Because that's the way the Lord is. And this will be a vehicle to honor his name and to be a blessing to many. The Lord's call in our lives. We're grateful for it, and we're glad to follow him in it.